7:49 a.m. on November 1st, 2019, and I call the meeting of the State of Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners to order. Ms. Faulx, could you please call the roll?
Yes, Dr. Bohansky?
Present.
Dr. Flowers?
Present.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Brundage? Dr. Davey? Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Malott?
Present.
Ms. Shreve?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I'd like to recognize all the board members for your hard work over this past month and the extra meetings we've had to attend. I know you spent a lot of hours in preparation, and especially the committees who have worked so hard to put our consent agenda together. And certainly acknowledge board staff who's been doing a yeoman's job, especially Ms. Michelson, for all their hard work. I call to the public is agenda item number 4. Ms. Faulx, is there anyone who's requested to speak?
No, sir.
Thank you. Agenda item number 5. Ms. Galvin, do you have an update for the board?
Just a brief one, Mr. Chairman. You'll recall that the board met on October 23rd, had a special meeting, and as part of that special meeting, you considered the allegations against Dr. Barry Wagner. You'd received information that Dr. Wagner may not be safe to practice psychology. Based upon the information that was presented, the board voted to summarily suspend her license. That was on Wednesday. The order went out on that same day, I believe, or the next day, and her license is summarily suspended. We have a hearing set before the Office of Administrative Hearings on December 2nd. Staff has attempted to reach Dr. Wagner, as have I, and those attempts have been unsuccessful. And that's all I have at this time.
Thank you very much, and we appreciate the continuing work council does for the board. Moving along, agenda item number 6 is the consent agenda. Are there any recusals from items on the consent agenda? Hearing none, a board member may request to remove an item from the consent agenda for independent discussion and action. Are there any requests? Yes, I have a request. I would like to remove, under the universal applications, the application of Dr. Rivera and the application of Dr. Grunfaldo. Are there any others?
Chairman, I do believe I'm recusing myself from the October 4th minutes. I was not at that meeting.
Thank you very much.
And I think I should have, I'm not sure which ones I missed in terms of the executive meetings, but maybe board staff can help me.
Executive sessions were essentially on October 4th meeting or October 23rd meeting.
The 23rd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
I don't think I was there.
I think we're going to have to just table the minutes because with Ms. Shreve recusing and Dr. Malott, we don't have a quorum.
All right. So I'm going to withdraw the approval of the minutes from the consent agenda as well. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll move on. Is there a motion to accept the remainder of the consent agenda?
So moved.
I second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Opposed? Like sign? Motion carries. Thank you very much. I'd like now then to go into a discussion of not the minutes. We know why those weren't approved. But we have two cases on the universal applications that in my review of the applications, I have concerns about both of these, and I'm having growing concerns overall about the universal application procedure. And they are as follows. It appears we are getting a significant number of applicants who have been licensed in Puerto Rico. As you may be aware, Puerto Rico does not require the EPPP. That concerns me. Someone can go to Puerto Rico, pick up a license without taking the EPPP, move to Arizona, and determine they want our license, and we are required to give such. Now, in discussing with counsel, my understanding also, and the intent of this law is for people who have just moved here so they can rapidly obtain our license if they've been licensed in another state. In the case of the two people who I have asked be removed, they have both been in Arizona for more than multiple years. Dr. Rivera, 2 years. Dr. Grijaldo, in excess of 10 years. And in her case, she's actually applied to the board before, and we found her application lacking. I think they're not covered by the universal application because they are not new to Arizona. They're simply taking advantage. The conundrum here is that we hold legal residents of Arizona who have lived here, worked here, gone to school here in many cases, strive to obtain licensure by meeting our statutory rules and obligations, and in some cases we have failed them because they didn't pass the EPPP or their internship wasn't up to what our rules state, or they're not from an accredited program in clinical counseling, educational, or school psychology. And now all of a sudden, people from elsewhere can come in and not meet any of those standards, and we're supposed to license them. I don't know that we have choices here, but at least in the case of these two, I don't believe they're new to the state, and I believe they're attempting to utilize an avenue to licensure in a way that the legislature did not intend. Is there any discussion or feedback?
So in the case of the first person, Dr. Bohansky, if the person were to do the EPPP, but they would need to then submit a full application to the board and get reviewed under that and then, you know, sit for the EPPP.
Correct.
So that's a possibility. With the second case, I was looking at California, and California had a system in place that allowed non-accredited programs. I mean, I don't know about the other issues, but I was just looking at it, and to qualify for licensure, meaning you didn't have to be a reasonably accredited institution, and the university that the second candidate came from fell under that category. California just passed a rule that by 2021, all schools need to also have regional accreditation. And so correct, that resulted in the current school, the school that the person got its doctorate from, closing down because they didn't want to go through the accreditation process, or they did a very half-hearted attempt. So, you know, fundamentally, I mean, if you graduated from a non-regionally accredited, there's nothing you can do to make up, you know, in terms of internships and, you know, all of those things have avenues to remedy exams, you know. So very interesting dilemma, but this universal process doesn't even give us a possibility to help people remediate, as in the case would be for the first person. So it's a real dilemma. So
I agree. It's a concern. My understanding is other boards and similar to ours are having the same concerns. At some point, we're going to have to address these with the legislature. other input.
Could somebody, could another board challenge, I mean, not another board, could, if it went up, say, if they appealed it and went to administrative law judge, could they challenge us?
If this,
Ms. Galvin.
Yes, if this board denies the applications of the two individuals would have a right to appeal that decision. That would go to the Office of Administrative Hearings, and then depending on your final adjudication, they would have a right, after asking for rehearing or review, to go to Superior Court, and then all the way through the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, if they challenged a denial, if you voted to deny.
Chairman?
If we vote, yes.
I just have a hard time wrapping my head around, you know, if you live in Arizona, you have certain standards you have to meet, and we won't give you a license if you don't, and yet if you come in from out of state or out of country or whatever, that we lessen those standards. And, you know, I just don't know how do you, from a public concern is, you know, I think there's an expectation that everyone meets a minimum standard, at least a minimum, and not, these aren't, like you said, the ECPP has been taken. That just concerns me.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine the medical board saying, oh, well, you didn't take the boards and pass your medical boards, but we're required to license you? The blowback there would be to something like that. Now we have doctors practicing who've not passed the medical board sequence. I am just shocked at this. And if one of the ways to bring attention to this is to deny these two, and let's go to court. Let's clarify this.
I think, Dr. Bohansky, this is Dr. Malott again. I think it's kind of the law of unintended consequences that has resulted from this new universal recognition. You know, I think we've talked about, you know, somebody who graduated 30 years ago, maybe they didn't have the exact same ethics class, and then we say, you're not qualified because, you know, things have changed, statutes have changed, you know, the profession has evolved, and yet they had a 30-year successful practice. So there's that, you know, but I think each of these, for universal recognition, I think it would be really great if you had some bare-bone minimums, you know, like a doctoral degree, passing the licensure exam. I don't know where I would go with internship because, you know, that changes and evolves over time. But, you know, the degree in the right field, passing the exam, and, you know, something, you know,
I
basic
agree.
Minimum.
Dr. Malott, you'll recall a case we had from California, and you're absolutely right that California has now remedied their situation and no longer does or will no longer do this. But we had a case where you read to us in the board meeting the course catalog from the university, and it said,
I'm in here.
It said a PhD from this university in this degree is not intended for licensure. And they offered a second degree that was intended for licensure. We had an applicant come with a course catalog and a transcript that said her degree was not intended for licensure. And therefore, we said, go retrain in a clinical program or counseling program and come back. That was an appropriate decision. She went to California, got licensed there. Now we're going to accept that? I'm dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we can't resolve this. I'm just bringing this to your attention. And I'm further going to note that on the first applicant, this person communicated with our board and signed his name with an Arizona address as a psychologist. Name, psychologist, Arizona address. In applying for the board, under this, he committed a title violation. I'm going to move that we reject these two applications.
So are you going to give them the chance to withdraw, or are you just going to reject them outright?
I would give them the option to withdraw.
I would prefer for the record that we take each application separately and state the grounds upon which the denial is based. And if you want to include an alternative motion that would allow them to withdraw, obviously you may do.
Okay, then I'll withdraw that motion, and I'll move that Dr. Rivera's license application under the universal standards be rejected, as he does not meet the intent of the law, having established himself for multiple years within the state, and that I'm concerned he's representing himself, even to our own board, as a psychologist.
So, concerned representing himself as a psychologist, that's kind of an added notation, but the grounds for the basis of the denial, if I understand you, is the issue that he has apparently established a residence in Arizona for a nearly two-year period of time, and that is contrary
Correct.
To what your understanding of the intent of the statute?
Correct. And I'm going to put in there a second part, that he has not completed a nationally approved test as required of all Arizona residents.
I think that's important, Dr. Bohansky. That's a key issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I want to add something, but I don't know if it's not appropriate right now because you made a motion.
I'll go ahead and second it, and then we can open it up for discussion.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion, Dr. Flower?
Yes. When Dr. Malott and I reviewed these applications, we had, you know, obviously similar concerns. I wasn't aware that Puerto Rico didn't require the ECCC. But as I think we pretty well all know, requirements have changed over the years in Arizona as well. You know, for a long time, there's no ECCC requirement, but I think it's been in place for like 40 years now. That's quite a while. But looking at the letter of the law, these two applicants appear to be qualified, but it does seem very strange, especially with the latter one, that the board years ago, I think 2005, denied the application, to say, well, now there's a new way. You can kind of weave around it. But indeed, it appears they appear to meet standards. I mean, this new set. And as stated before, there is, I think the idea is, the governor, I haven't talked to him, of course, but like, why do we have all these bureaucratic things stopping medical providers from doing their jobs? So let's make it streamline it. Part of it sounds really good, but, you know, like was stated, unintended consequences. Like, what indeed are we accepting now? And it's like a blurring of standards. But I'm reluctant to agree with the motion because of the standards that have been basically imposed on us. Anyway, that's my input.
Thank you very much.
This is Dr. Malott. I just want to make one more point. Like Dr. Flowers, I was not aware of the Puerto Rico not requiring the licensure exam. I'm just a little worried now because I think we approved a couple of other Puerto Rico applicants who have licensures, and we did it last month. And we have two for this one, the number 7th application, you know, who was universal. Wasn't that also Puerto Rico?
There are three of them in this month.
So how do we know the others have? I mean, I don't have access to a file right now that they haven't done the exam.
Staff has indicated.
Apparently,
staff has indicated to me that there was at least one other applicant that we did approve a universal application for through Puerto Rico.
This is Kathy. Mr. Chairman, board members, the very first universal recognition application for the psychologist that was approved by the board was an applicant who had applied initially under the standard application a couple of years ago, sat for the ECCC, failed, reapplied, and had an extension, and then she came in and applied under universal recognition once that went into effect, and it was approved. She now holds a license.
That's extremely frustrating, and I apologize, I missed it in my review.
And the board is, you know, now aware about that Puerto Rico doesn't require the ECCC. We always worry about precedent, but also that the facts have changed, and now we realize that Puerto Rico doesn't require the ECCC.
I think we might need a table, the one without the ECCC. The other one's a different issue. And I don't know, because we'd have to consider the other case, and that other case is not on the agenda, so.
I mean, the board is.
All right, let's.
And if I may, this is Jean Galvin. If you want a table, obviously that is an option you have. We have approved another universal application because of Puerto Rico, but through Puerto Rico. Doesn't mean we have to go back and reconsider that. We now have more information. There's case law that suggests if maybe you believe that first application was rendered in error, you don't have to perpetuate the error, such as it may be an error. So I wouldn't let that first case impact your decision today if now you believe that the fact that Puerto Rico doesn't require the ECCC is something that you want to consider.
Okay.
You may have to explain it.
Board staff, can you identify the three cases that are from Puerto Rico on the agenda?
Yeah, we can get that information for you in just a minute.
Thank you. I had them written down and left it at my office.
Just a reminder that we still just have a motion on Dr. Rivera.
Can I withdraw the motion?
No, not necessarily. We have to watch the discussion so we don't commingle.
Yeah.
One is Yolanda Hobbs.
She's on this.
She's on the consent. Oh, yeah. Oh, she is Missouri.
Right. To clarify, it's not Ms. Hobbs. The one that we just confirmed is Puerto Rico is item G, Zaida Zell Garcia Yili. checking the other. So Kathy was able to check through all the applications, and the only other Puerto Rico one is G. Zaida Azel Garcia.
Okay. I'll withdraw my prior motion. Instead, will ask that we table the two Puerto Rican applications. And I will go ahead and move that we deny the Grifaldo application based on not meeting the intent of the universal licensure law in that she has been a resident of Arizona for more than a decade.
Okay, I'm going to, and I hate to do this, I'm going to have you back up. Dr. Bohansky withdrew his motion to deny the application of Dr. Rivera. Dr. Malott, do you withdraw your second?
I withdraw my second.
Okay, now with respect to Dr. Garcia Yilla, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, she was previously approved. Do we have a motion to reconsider the approval of Dr. Garcia Yilla's application?
She was not previously approved. She was one of the two I asked to be taken out.
You approved it through the consent agenda, through your approval of the consent agenda.
Excuse me. I asked for Rivera and Grifaldo to be taken off the consent agenda for further discussion. We've discussed Rivera, we've tabled that now, and now we're discussing Grifaldo, who was withdrawn from the consent agenda.
All right, and you previously made a motion to deny Gandolfo for the reason that she has been an Arizona resident for more than a decade, and you believe that that is contrary to the intent of the universal recognition statute.
Correct, and therefore she should go through the normal process.
Okay, and that's your only basis of denial for the record. Is there a second to that?
Seconded.
Dr. Meyer.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion on this one?
Mr. Chairman?
Dr. Flower.
Yes, I again understand your point of view. I think it just gets kind of hazy and gray when we try to figure out who's been living in Arizona for how long to decide whether they should be approved or not.
I agree that this law is so hazy.
It's unfortunate. Anyway, that was my input. So that's my input.
Thank you.
Dr. Bohansky, I was just wondering, is it possible to amend the motion to say that we are denying the application based on the fact that they did not graduate from an accredited institution, because that is the information that is provided on the application. Don't have access to other information.
We could add that in.
And the staff has clarified, for the board members, the staff has clarified with the applicant directly, and she has been a resident in Arizona for 12 years, I believe.
That is correct. And she did provide some other additional information.
Yeah, if you want to provide that.
Yes. So staff did reach out to Dr. Gandolfo. She confirmed that she had been a resident of Arizona for 12 years. She also indicated that she has an active business in California where she has two employees and prepares assessment behavioral plans. She also indicated that she is on the board for Bridges to Home, which is for individuals with autistic spectrum disorder. She also indicated she had been volunteering with the police and fire department on the critical incident team in the Sedona Fire Department. In review of the board that Dr. Gandolfo is on, the Bridges to Home, that is based in California, and I did access the website for that board, and it indicates that Dr. Gandolfo is a mental health representative on the critical incident team for the Sedona Fire Department and a volunteer with the Sedona Police Department.
Thank you. Is there other discussion?
So to repeat, the motion is to deny Dr. Gandolfo's application under universal recognition for the reason that she's a resident of Arizona and has been a resident of Arizona by her own admission for 12 years, and that she doesn't meet the intent of the statute. And there was a friendly amendment that she did not graduate or receive her doctoral degree from an accredited institution. Dr. Meyer, do you accept that amendment for your second?
I do.
And, of course, do we include the opportunity to withdraw the application in this?
Is that part of your motion?
Yes.
And Dr. Meyer, is that agreeable?
I do.
Yes?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. All right.
Is there any further discussion?
And we will need a roll call.
Correct. Hearing none, Ms. Flower, would you call the roll, please?
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
No.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Brundage? Sorry, absent. Dr. Malott?
Yes.
Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
The vote is 5-1 in favor of denial.
All right. And Dr. Bohansky, my understanding is you want to table Dr. Rivera, which you have done. But when the consent agenda was approved, Dr. Garcia Yillo was approved as part of G. And she received her undergraduate degree, and she's licensed in Puerto Rico. She's licensed in Puerto Rico, but is relevant. If you want to reconsider that application, I would need a motion for the board to reconsider that application and rescind their previous vote.
Very good. I move that we rescind our previous vote on this candidate and whatever else we need to say legally.
You would rescind your previous vote approving the application and vote to reconsider the application.
And then table it, yes.
I'll second.
Is there further discussion? Hearing none. Do we need a roll call vote on this one?
Yes.
If we could please, Ms. Flower.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Ms. Shreve?
Yes.
Dr. Flowers?
Yes.
Dr. Davis-Wilson?
Yes.
Dr. Meyer?
Yes.
Dr. Malott?
Yes.
The vote is unanimous.
Thank you. Motion carries. That gets us through a messy consent agenda.
Dr. Bohansky?
Yes.
Could we add the previous Puerto Rico applications that were approved to the next agenda to discuss along with these?
Dr. Meyer, I would not recommend that. That one has been approved and the person's licensed, and we have additional information, and we're moving forward.
Okay, I reject or withdraw my previous comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to make a comment here, and this is of major concern. We have been working very hard as a psychology profession with our colleagues in the other 60-some jurisdictions so that we can work toward a greater mobility of psychologists going between. SciPac is a great example of that. I am now questioning whether we need to inform the Association of Boards and the other boards directly that licenses issued by Arizona after September 1st of this year should be thoroughly vetted and cannot any longer fall under what they believe our statute is, as candidates can be approved under this law, meeting less than the universal standards they've established and which we have followed in our regular law. It's unfortunate, but I'm considering that.
Would you like that on a future agenda to discuss, Dr. Bohansky?
Yes, I would, please.
Thank you.
All right. Having done that, if we could move to agenda item number 7. This is discussion and possible action pertaining to our draft of rule changes for psychologists. Ms. Michelson, would you provide an update for the board?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and board members, I will make my summary brief. The board's 5-year rule review was previously approved by GIRC back in August, which allows for the board to ask the governor for an exemption to the current rule moratorium so that we can open a rules package and make the changes that were outlined in that 5-year review report. The governor's office has changed their protocol for requesting and approving exemptions. Previously, we had sent an outline of the behavior analyst and psychologist rules to them for approval, and now they require to see the actual proposed rule changes. So at this time, before your review today, is the drafted psychologist rules for review. Ms. Hahn, our rules writer, is also present on the phone if any of the members have any questions, and that concludes my summary here today.
Thank you. As I understand, we need to approve submitting this through a motion.
That is correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Flower, please.
Yes, I noticed in the draft that the 4 hours of domestic violence or bullying was eliminated. And
correct.
I know there was some discussion about what to do, and I was thinking there was going to be stakeholders and all that to meet and talk and all that. I don't know. Maybe I missed that, or it just suddenly it was gone. I just wondered what happened.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is a draft of the proposed rules, and we have not had an opportunity for public comment as of yet, but once we file the notice of proposed rulemaking, stakeholders and anyone else in the public will have the opportunity to comment.
Okay, so that process is down the line.
Yes.
And part of the suggestion for that removal is from the State Psych Association Legislative Committee.
Okay, and they were part of the recommending team to delete it.
They approached us.
Okay, I know somebody, I thought it was just one one individual. It sounded like it was maybe one individual speaking for a lot more.
I attended their meeting.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the additional information.
I'm the one individual.
Okay. Well, you definitely count.
But it comes from their legislative meeting, where there was a very lengthy and hearty discussion, along with the historical basis for how that got into our rules.
Yes, and I, you know, when you mentioned how that started, it brought back a lot of memories. I mean, I remembered a lot of what happened years back. And it's like a huge force wanting a whole lot more than the 4 hours. And it was just incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Is there a motion to forward this so that our process can begin?
I so moved.
So moved. A second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Are moving to agenda item number 8. This is a status update regarding. Yes.
This is Jeannie Han. I'm going to hang up. Thank you for letting me
for participating.
Thank you. We'll move to agenda item number 8, which is a status update regarding the progress toward filling our executive director position. Ms. Michelson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and board members. As the members are aware, at our meeting on October 23rd, the board members conducted interviews regarding the position to fill for executive director. At that time, upon conducting all interviews, the board decided to make an offer to one of the candidates, Ms. Heidi Herbst-Cohen. And at that time, Heidi did accept the board's offer, and we moved forward with the hiring process. I am happy to report that yesterday we did receive notification from HR that the governor's office has approved Heidi. And upon discussing with Heidi, she will start on Monday, November 18th. And just so the board is aware, Heidi is here in the audience today as a member of the public just to observe, but I want to welcome her and let her know that we are excited to have her on board.
Oh, thank you, and I will also extend my congratulations and welcome on behalf of the board, and promise you we're not always this disjointed. we have a rough topic with this universal law. So welcome. Is there anything you'd like to say, Heidi?
One moment, I'm going to give her the microphone.
Just very briefly, I'm grateful to be here. Thank you so much for your confidence in me. I'm eager to help you tackle a multitude of challenges, including the ones that I was privileged to hear discussion about today. It won't be easy, but I will do my best to come up to speed and keep you well informed as we work through them. Thank you.
Thank you. You'll find us to be a contemplative group, and awarding to you whenever you get two psychologists in a room, you're bound to have three opinions.
She found that out this morning.
Excellent. Okay. And again, I want to thank staff for helping the board through that process, specifically Ms. Michelson and the job she's done in the interim. I know it's she facilitated so much for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
New agenda items for future meetings. We had a couple that came up today, so certainly we need to ask staff if they will include those. It's looking like our December in-person meeting is going to have a few interesting topics, but I certainly would like this universal licensure on that meeting, and those applications which we have tabled for further review and discussion. I'd like us to be preparing ourselves for that so we can move forward.
I will be adding those items to the December agenda.
Thank you. Are there any other items that we can should be adding?
Just to point out that the December meeting is on a Thursday, so that's very unique for the board, so just remember that.
Are Thursdays harder than Fridays?
No, but sometimes we're accustomed to a routine.
Well, you're telling me to show up on Thursday and not Friday.
Yes, I am.
Please do.
Well, we're also going to have to be very efficient because we can't run over into Saturday from Thursday. So.
Cannot.
Excellent.
Good.
Okay, hearing nothing else, I again want to thank everyone for taking the time from busy schedules. Dr. Malott, thank you very much for breaking away from your responsibilities and allowing us to get a quorum. And I'm going to ask staff to continue to push the governor's office for candidates. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
And a second.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. And we are adjourned. Have a great weekend, everyone.